Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The U.S. federal budget deficit widened to a record $711 billion, not for the year, not for the half, but the first quarter of 2025 fiscal year, ranging from October through December. That is up a staggering $510 billion from the same period last year, which is an increase of 39% from the 2024 disastrous hemorrhaging of debt. Of course, the annual deficits just add on to the massive stinking dung pile of existing U.S. debt that is now well over $36 trillion. That debt as a percentage of revenue, not just look at this debt as a percentage of GDP, look at it as a percentage of revenue, which is how I look at it, which is the most accurate way of viewing our debt dilemma. It is 726% of our revenue, and the deficit for 2025 will be 40%. As if everything goes great, if interest rates are quiescent and we don't have a recession, the deficit for 2025 will be 40% of all federal revenue collected. So to put this in simpler terms, if the U.S. debt was a household with an income of $100,000, their mortgage and car and credit card, all that debt, et cetera, would add up to $726,000 of debt, which would be very onerous in total on its own. However, making matters much worse is that you are not paying down that outstanding debt at all, not even a penny of it. In fact, you're adding to the debt much faster than your income. So the exact opposite is occurring. You're adding $40,000 per year onto that $726,000 total. That's in 2025. Now, if you went to a bank and asked for a loan with those financials, the loan officer would have a good laugh, then ask you to leave the office and wouldn't even allow you to take a lollipop on the way out. This is why the credit markets are demanding more and more interest as the U.S. rolls over its debt and must issue new debt to cover the annual shortfall. This is why, as one of the last acts of Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, she said this, her agency will start taking, quote, extraordinary measures, unquote, to prevent the nation from hitting the debt ceiling, which supposedly occurred yesterday. It's supposed to occur January 21st. That was when the nation was going to hit the debt ceiling. Now, in a letter sent to Congress last Friday afternoon, Yellen said, quote, the period of time that extraordinary measures may last is subject to considerable uncertainty, including the challenges of forecasting the payments and receipts of the U.S. government months into the future. I respectfully urge Congress to act promptly to protect the full faith and credit of the United States. By acting promptly, the outgoing Treasury Secretary means raise or eliminate the debt ceiling fast. Trump has even called for the statutory debt ceiling limit to be abolished altogether. Forget about just raising it. He wants to get away with the whole business of having a limit on how much debt our government can borrow. He told NBC News soon after being reelected that getting rid of the debt ceiling entirely would be, quote, the smartest thing Congress could do. The replacement for Yellen, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, said that if Trump wants to eliminate the debt ceiling, I will work with him. He continued, quote, the U.S. is not going to default on its debt, close quote. He should have elaborated a little bit by saying, the U.S. will continue to default on its debt implicitly through money printing and inflation, and that pace of inflation will have to increase because the revenue just is not even close to what we need to pay our obligations. So we don't have to explicitly default on our obligations, but we'll just pay them back with dollars that are becoming worthless. That would be a more correct statement. The truth is Yellen has already been tapping the Treasury General Account. That's what she means by extraordinary measures, the TGA, to keep from defaulting on U.S. debt. The TGA holds deposits from the Treasury placed at the Fed. It's the nation's checking and savings account. When the Treasury cannot issue any more bonds because it has exceeded its credit limit, it taps the TGA. The TGA had $1.8 trillion in the summer of 2020, just after COVID broke out. It was then drawn down to $840 billion by November of last year, and it now has dwindled down to just $640 billion as of last week's reading. This buffer is quickly running out, and speaking of liquidity running out, the reverse repo facility has now, for all intents and purposes, already run dry. The $2.4 trillion of excess banking reserves soaked up by the Fed in 2022 is now down to just $90 billion. That $2.3 trillion, a little more than that, of the $2.4, has left the reverse repo facility and went directly into the Treasury bill market, and that is what helped fund the government and boosted consumption and asset prices at the same time. Now, I understand the FOMO of most investors. Yes, we are making money. We're not quite matching the S&P 500, but I get that most investors, not my investors, but most investors have been compelled to all pile into the same stocks so they don't miss out on whatever is left of the bubble. But I've been doing this, I've been in this business for 34 years, and I can assure you the time to invest with reckless abandon is not now. Now, we do remain net long stocks, but with some degree of caution. We would rather participate in the bull market with the proper hedges in place so we don't get crushed from a sudden and unpredictable decline in prices. You know, not every decline in the stock market is predictable. Look what happened with the Japanese yen surged last year, and that knocked stock prices for a loop over a few days. I mean, that could happen, and there's no way to predict that. No one can predict that. But we would rather forego some of the upside as we prepare to protect and profit from the grand reconciliation of asset prices, which offers the biggest opportunity and holds the most favorable risk-reward dynamic. After all, the negative risk premium offered by stocks as compared to bonds is a very rare phenomenon. There's a negative risk premium. You get more yield from bonds than the earnings yield from stocks. Short-term bonds now provide more return with less risk. The last time this happened was at the start of 2000, which was the beginning of a two-year 50% bust in the S&P and an 80% drubbing in the NASDAQ. And that was despite what the Federal Reserve did. Yes, the Federal Reserve came in, lowered the Fed funds rate, but that didn't stop the decline from happening. And I don't expect the Fed to be able to rescue the market this time either. That's another surprise for Wall Street. Now, my IDEC, Inflation, Deflation, Economic Cycle Timing Tool, should allow us to get net short the market at the appropriate time. Because what the IDEC model does best is detect liquidity crises and recessions. That's when you really get into problems. That's a tradable, investable time that you can short the market. If you look at the price to sales of the S&P 500 and the total market cap of equities to GDP, the market has never been more expensive. And to revert to the mean, the market needs to decline by 50% just to get close, even close to normal valuations. And of course, they always overshoot. When everyone is on the same side of the boat, it always tips over. And there has never been so many investors on the same side of this very small boat. This very old and rickety, leaky boat. Stock ownership of households is at a record high. Cash levels are at a record low. And they are all overweight the same seven stocks, which are concentrated positions in the FOMO S&P 500. The number of new homes for sale has reached the highest level since June of 2009. Yes, the real estate bubble is bursting. And we do have a residential housing bubble, commercial real estate bubble, a massive credit bubble, and an equity bubble, all existing concurrently for the first time ever in history. You've had real estate bubbles in isolation. You've had credit bubbles in isolation. And you've had equity bubbles in isolation, but never to this magnitude and all existing at the same time. And this truth cannot be ignored, and it remains the situation regardless of who is in the White House. And I completely understand that Trump is going to be a far better president than what the alternative would have been, no doubt. However, his presidency in no way abrogates the existence of these bubbles. Trump will deregulate the economy, and that offers a substantial upside. However, on the other side of the ledger, tariffs and mass deportations, which are reduced labor force participation, are short-term negatives for the economy. Longer term, it boosts U.S. manufacturing, and the right kind of immigration, law-abiding, productive individuals are a big plus. Yes, we have a great future ahead of us. And tax cuts are great and help light a fire under the economy in 2018. They were some of the largest tax cuts in history. But what is now on the table is just the extension of the existing tax law. Even if that gets passed through reconciliation, and I believe it will, which would require a significant amount of tariffs to pay for the rates to be extended because the Byrd rule requires such cuts to be fully paid for. But even if those tax cuts are extended and they are paid for through tariffs or paid for through growth or whatever, however way they can get the CBO to score it so the Byrd rule is not violated, there will be zero new tax relief. The rates will remain the same. But for now, we still must deal with the disruptive amount of debt and dangerous asset bubbles. The inevitable and unavoidable reconciliation of both is when Pento Portfolio Strategies shines the brightest.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.